play. There we go, 1 second.
Re-recording,
yeah. I'm recording as well.
Yeah.
On.
You said play.
So. Yeah. I can't scrap that bit. Right, if you've listened to last week and the week before, in Luke 10:25, on one occasion, expert of the law stood up and to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus replied with this, what is written in the law? How do you read it? And that got me thinking some weeks ago when I was looking at this whole subject of love your neighbour as yourself. Because if I've got this wrong, you can tell me. And how do you read it? It implies that some people can read things differently. One person may see one thing and another person may see another. There's no new revelation in Scripture, but God reveals it in a different way to us and it becomes a revelation to us. Although God has already spoke. And so how do you read it? And when I looked at this, initially I thought, as a Christian, I should just forgive and forget and just let people walk over me. That's not what this scripture is saying. Because when it goes, love your neighbour as yourself, to love, when we look at what the Lord says, love is patient, love is kind, love is slow to anger. Love also holds us to account, doesn't it? So the love that God has for us is a mutual, not a mutual, God holds us to account. He is a God that judges. He is a God that encourages. He is a God that ultimately will punish. Your neighbour, as we look through the scriptures, is the person in front of us. It's the very person we come into contact with. Yes, it may be your physical neighbour. I won't mention names, but I lived beside a family some years ago and they thought it was okay for their children to come around mine and take a sharp instrument and draw all over my new table, and that my neighbour thought that was okay. I was not a Christian at that time, but had I been, what should I have done at that point? Should I just said, that's okay, you just carry on and abuse my hospitality? Well, what does Scripture say? So our neighbour is the person that we're in front of, and the whole as yourself bit. Well, I speak to some people and they say, well, I don't like myself. So if I don't like myself, that means I don't have to like my neighbours. No, sorry, you can't get out of that one. So I don't like myself, so therefore it's okay for me to not like my neighbour. No, we're not. God doesn't see us the way that we see ourselves. And so often we think we can only love the unlovable, we can only forgive if we feel that we are loved and we feel that we are forgiven. But our walk is not about feelings, is it? It's about faith. So for us as Christians, we should know by now what God says about us. So I just want to bring a rounded message and hopefully it will make sense as I go along. In Luke 15:11, there was a man, this will be very familiar to us. There was a man who had two sons. The younger said to his father, give me my share of the estate. I want it and I want it now, basically. And it says that this young man took everything that he owned, everything that his father had already given him, his full inheritance, and he went to a far off land. And Scripture tells us that he squandered everything that he was given. All the inheritance, all the riches that belonged to him, he squandered it. It goes on in this story to say that the young man found himself impoverished. There was a famine and he was hungry. So he hired himself out and he started to tend the pigs. And one day he was in the pig pen and he looked at the pods that the pigs were eating and he started to ponder on what he had lost. On what he had wasted and what he had squandered. He didn't ponder on the fact that he had squandered all his money. What he pondered on was this. I was better off in my father's house. In fact, those that work for my dad, those that work for my father, are better off than I am now. And it says in Scripture that coming to his senses, he stepped out of the pig pen and he went back to the father. And you'll be familiar with this. And if you're not familiar with it, look through Luke's account of this and read the entire story and ask God to speak to you afresh, not just the few moments that I have to share. But what happened in this story is that the father was waiting for his son. The father had never given up on his son. And his son realized that he was better off with the father. And he came to his senses and he went back. And the father rejoiced. He ran. He said, kill the fattened calf. Get the ring. Get the robe. Get the sandals. My son was dead and he's alive again. Now, when we start to say, who are we to love our neighbors as ourselves? Many of us, since becoming Christians, have maybe wandered. I know I have at times. But we are still the children of God, aren't we? See, when God sees us, he doesn't say, you deserve it. You left, you took everything I gave you and you squandered it. He says, no, you come back to me. I want to embrace you. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter if you wake up in the morning and say, I don't like what I see in the mirror. I'm not tall enough. I'm not short enough. My hair's not long enough. I'm not articulate. I don't have the brains this person have. I don't have the motivation that person has. I don't have the finances that my friends have. That's irrelevant. You're a child of God. And we can go through the scriptures and say that we're justified, sanctified, we're set apart. We can go through scriptures that tell us who we are. But we're not in a motivational speaking position. My call, if you like, isn't to motivate people by saying, you're the best you can be. My obligation is to say that you are who God's created you to be. Fearfully and wonderfully made, just as you are. And even if you wander, God pulls you back. So the love your neighbour as yourself is that we're children of God. We are children of the living God. That there's nothing that you can do to make him love you any less. There's nothing that you can do to make him love you anymore. So that's the foundation on which I wanted to bring this scripture. That we are the children of God. In Romans 8, verse 1, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. So if you're in Christ Jesus, who are you? You're not condemned. There is a hope. Who are in Christ Jesus? Because through Christ Jesus, the law and the spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. So who are you? You're no longer a sinner that's going to hell. You're a sinner that's been saved for an eternal perspective. Yes? Amen? That's who you are. So to love your neighbour as yourself means that you see yourself the way that God sees you. In verse 3, for what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, that's our natural abilities, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us. So the righteous requirement of the law is fully met in us. So who are we? We're redeemed. We're set free. We're God's children. So to love your neighbour as yourselves, we need to see ourselves the way God sees us. I'm not talking about how we feel. I'm talking about the fact that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son for you. And for me, the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the spirit. Now, so often that small passage there can be missed out whenever we preach. Who are living according to the spirit, not according to the flesh. There are times that people live according to the flesh. Sometimes we live according to the flesh, not according to the spirit. So do you think God lets us get away with that? No, he doesn't, does he? So there is a, when people say, oh, I can't believe in that God because he's a judgmental God. Yes, he is a judgmental God. And he judges us, his children, as well as the world. But Jesus said, I didn't come into the world to condemn the world. I came into the world to set them free. But there is a judgment coming. So to love your neighbour is the person in front of you with the love that God has for us. So when we look at that story of the lost son or the prodigal, we can see how God treats us, and that's how we should treat each other, and that's how we should treat people around us. However, there is a fuller picture to this love your neighbour as yourself, and hopefully I can unpack it as we go along. Verse 5, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on the flesh and their desires, and those who live according with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. That's true about us as Christians and the world. So we're in the world, but not of the world. So there is a difference between those that are living according to the Spirit and those that are living according to the flesh. So what's my point? I'll tell you soon. I'm glad you asked. Verse 6. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Who are we? We're people that God wants to give peace and life in all its fullness. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. So how can we tell those that are living in the flesh? Because they're hostile to God. Are they still our neighbours? Yes, because that's the person that's in front of us. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. Amen to that. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. So as Christians, if we've been born of God's Spirit, this is all to do with us. We're in the Spirit, not in the flesh. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. This has to do with who we are, ourselves. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, that's us, we have an obligation, but not to the flesh, to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die, but according to the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. And it goes on and on. So if we want to know about us, about self, we just look at Scripture. There's adverts that say, do this because you're worth it. Well, we are worth it. However, we're sinners saved by grace. We can't go to a self-help group. Why? Because it's all about self. When we come to church, it's not about us, it's about him in us, isn't it? So to love your neighbour with the love that God has for us, the neighbour is the person in front as yourself. So we're redeemed, yes? We've been set free, yes? But we're also held accountable. And that's the point that I don't hear very often when this portion of Scripture is read. We are accountable. So we should hold other people accountable. Now, we can't judge sin. Only God does that. But we can judge the motives of people's heart according to God's word. So we can judge each other within our actions, and we can judge the world, not in a condemning way, but in a way that will protect us. Let me explain as I go on to Luke 3, verse 19. I have to keep an eye on the time. Luke 3, verse 19. But when John rebuked Herod, so here we have John the Baptizer, John the Baptist. And when we look at ourselves as Christians, and I don't want anyone to take this message and think it's licensed to be horrible to people. What I'm trying to say here is when we look at to love your neighbour as yourself, we have to understand who we are and what God has done for us. And in the light of what God has done for us, we can treat other people. But we need to keep it real. Well, John rebuked Herod the Tetrarch because of his marriage to Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done. So this is quite damning language, isn't it? He rebuked because of his lifestyle choices and because of the evil things he had done. And if we continue in Matthew 10:1, Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. So what we have here is John rebuking, John talking about the evil things that was going on around him, and he didn't stay silent, he spoke out. When we start to look into the New Testament, the way that God talks about us, and we talk about love, and we talk about judgment, and we talk about neighbours, and we talk about ourselves, that story of the prodigal, the story of the two sons, really sums it up, that God chose to show us compassion. So we should show compassion on others. Mm-hmm. But also, there is a responsibility for us to shun evil, isn't there? Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying there is, when we think about our neighbours, sometimes we might be confronted by evil, but we're not to embrace evil, are we? So The whole concept of love your neighbour as yourself doesn't mean that we are going to give our pearls to swine. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that we're going to empty our pockets and throw it away just because that's a good thing to do. It doesn't mean that we're going to give our time to evil things, does it? No? So we have to really weigh up who our neighbour is and what God is saying. And as I was trying to say last week, is when someone's in need, even if they're your enemy, as a Christian, we're to help. Mm. We're to bind up. We're to even if it costs us something, we're to do it. Why? Because that person is in need. Now, there's a big difference between someone being in need and someone doing evil things, isn't there? Mm. We're to shun evil, but we're to look after the evildoer if they're in need. That's the gospel, isn't it? That's the gospel. So, Matthew 10:10. Jesus calls his 12 disciples and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits. So that means there were impure spirits around at that time. So when we talk about good, there has to be bad, doesn't there? When we talk about righteousness, there have to be unrighteousness. So Jesus was fully aware of the world that he was in at the time. He was fully aware that there was good and bad. There was for and against. And he gave a power to his disciples to drive out. But not only to drive out the evil spirits, but to heal. To heal every disease and sickness. So as Christians, we're not just to shun evil, but we're to embrace people who are hurting, and we're to bind up, and we're to heal. And God's given us power to do that. He still works. The scripture says, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Lives in you. What, me, Pastor? Yes, you. Luke 7:21. At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases and sickness and evil spirits. So to love your neighbour as yourself, as we grasp the fact of the love that God has for us, that he loved us, that he bled for us. How many times Peter would say, do I need to forgive? 7? No, 77 times 7. Have mercy on us, Lord. It's difficult, isn't it? But it's not. I don't want to say this on tape, but it's not that we've got license to not do anything. It means that Scripture tells us, as far as I can see, how do you read it, that we are to shun evil and embrace good. And then it seems to contradict itself by saying that we need to forgive when people do wrong against us. And then it contradicts us again and say that we are to keep away from the evildoers. Then it contradicts itself, so it says that when somebody's in need, even if they're your enemy, you're to feed them. That's not a contradiction. Because when we look at the fullness of the scripture, the fullness of the gospel, we see that Christ came not to condemn but to set free. He's given us power and authority to speak his truth. Yes? He's given us the capability of seeing ourselves the way that he sees us, not the way that we see ourselves. So when we see ourselves the way God sees us, bear with me, then we can love the unlovable, we can forgive those that don't deserve it, we can bind up the broken hearts, and we can set the captives free, even if they're our enemies. But on the back of that, we're also to shun evil. So it means if we come across people, procedures and policies that are anti-Christ, then we're to keep away from them. If we come up against people who live next door to us, across the road, in the vicinity, who worship Satan, we're to keep away from them. See, our neighbour isn't everybody. Our neighbour, according to Scripture, are the ones that are in need of God's love. And we, as God's people, are to show that love, that compassion. And we can do that because he showed that same love and compassion to us, because we all walked away. We all walked away from the goodness of God. And he compelled us to come back, didn't he? And he gave the robe of righteousness. He adopted us into his family. You know, there was a minister who, in his church, and he said, put your hands up, everybody who's been adopted. And there was one or two hands went up. And he went, let me rephrase that. In the light of Scripture, put your hands up, everyone who's been adopted. And the penny started to drop, and everybody started to put their hands up. Because we've all been adopted, haven't we? We've all been adopted into his family. Luke 7:21, at that At that very time, Jesus cured many who had disease, sicknesses, and evil spirits. He gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, go back and report to John. John's disciples had come to Jesus and said, I got a message from John. Are you the one that's to come, or should we expect someone else? And Jesus said, this is what's happening in front of you. Go back and tell him. So what we do is as important as what we say. So when that scripture comes and it challenges us to love your neighbour as yourself, I think it's important to grasp the love that God has for us. Because without that, then it's going to be impossible, I'd suggest, to love your enemies. It's going to be impossible. Because they deserve it. We deserve it. Deserve what? Wrath. We deserve it. But God, through his mercy, gave us mercy instead. So the things we do are as important as the things we say. So when we talk about love your neighbour as yourself, then we understand who we are, we understand what love is, and we understand who our neighbours are. Scripture tells us our neighbours are the ones that are in front of us. Matthew 23:23. This is Jesus speaking. So what really compelled me to preach this message or bring this message is, what do I do with the people that I don't like? Is that just me, or do you have people like that in your lives?
It's not liking them, it's following their behaviour and their attitude.
Exactly, and it's anti-Christ, and it's rude, and it's arrogant. What do I do, Lord, with those people? And as Christians, I think we've been taught over the years that we should turn the other cheek. Take that portion of scripture on its own. It should go the extra mile, give the coat. Take those scriptures isolated, and they're very, very challenging, but put them in the entirety of the New Testament. How do you read it? Look at what Jesus said. Look at how Jesus lived, and then put it in the light of that. So let me give you a scripture that I believe will encourage you, because it encouraged me, if you see it the way that I'm trying to say it. In Matthew 23:23, woe to you teachers of the law, you Pharisees, you hypocrites. You gave a tenth of your spices, mint and dill and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matter of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat and you swallow a camel. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they're full of greed and selfish indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first clean the outside of the cup and the dish, then you will be able to clean the inside also. Woe to you, teachers of the law, you Pharisees, you hypocrites. This is Jesus. The reason I bring this isn't so that you go out saying to church leaders and congregational members and people of the law, you hypocrites. But what this does is this. A tree is known by its fruit, isn't it? So if I say to you I care about you, and then you ring me up and say, Pastor, can you come and care for me? And I go, no, it's not my job. Well, I'm a hypocrite. If I say we're part of a family, and the Bible says when one part hurt, we all hurt, and you hurt, and I don't care, then I'm a hypocrite. If I come before you and you give me some good news, you've just had something that you weren't expecting and it's fantastic, and I go, yeah, and? I'm a hypocrite. So what Jesus is saying here, I believe, is, or what he's doing here, he's judging the fruit by the tree. Or judging the tree by its fruit. So it's okay not to be judgmental, but to actually act in accordance to what the Bible says. Not to go out and call people out, but we are to have a rounded view of what we do with the love that God has given us. So Jesus, let me read another scripture that illustrates this. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went into Jerusalem, into the temple courts, and he found people selling cattle, sheep and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. Now this is Jesus, and he goes in and he drives them out, doesn't he? So how can it be that Jesus, on the outside, is being quite stern with people? You know, to call someone a hypocrite. You know, to say that you're a whitewashed tomb, you look good on the outside, but on the inside you're full of dead men's bones. You stink. This is Jesus. And to go into the temple, the house of the Lord, and drive people out by force. How can that be if Christ was sinless? I'm not a heretic. I'm not going to say anything I shouldn't say. Have you ever been in the position whereby you can say something and do something, but on the inside you're actually... So let me give you an example. I'll come near the recording. How many of you have a dog? Just raise your hand. Right, okay. For the two of you that are in the room. You might not do this, but some people do. Right, they have a dog. Now, Jack, sit. Jack, stay. Stay! Right? Now, what you've done is, you've gone from a suggestion to a command. Does that make sense? So, Louise, if you was to say to your little Jack, sit, and then you went, sit, do you hate that dog anymore because you've commanded it to do something? No. You've commanded it to do something. So, on the outside, it sounds, oh my goodness, Jack's in trouble, but on the inside, I love Jack. Or whatever the name of the dog is. Does that make sense? So when Jesus said, you hypocrite, if that hypocrite fell and needed feeding, Jesus would have fed him. When he went into the temple courts and he said, out, he could do that. People call it righteous indignation, and that can cover a multitude of sins, and we're to check ourselves on that, because sometimes it can give us license as Christians to say something and do something that's contrary to Scripture. But there are times where we can change the tone of our voice because we're saying this far and no further. So because we're called to shun evil, we can at times say, no, I do not want that in my home. We had a situation where one of our son's friends wanted to hire a certain film which was contrary to our values. So we just said, no. And then they pushed and we went, the answer's no. If you want our son to socialise with your son on that particular night, then you cannot have that film. And with that, they did not have the film. We wasn't arrogant, we wasn't rude, but my tone changed slightly. Or Susan's tone changed slightly. To no.
She's not here to defend us.
But she embraced this family, loved this family, served this family. Do you see the point? Love your neighbour as yourself. So what I'm saying to us as church, very badly maybe, is that we should take the whole of what the Bible's saying to us in the light of what Jesus allows us to do by protecting ourselves, but looking at the fruit that's on the tree and acting accordingly. So are we to love people who are unlovely to us? Yes, we are. But are we to shun evil? Yes, we are. So we need to discern, don't we? We need to protect ourselves. So if there was a not very nice person that was trying to get into your area of influence, it's okay for you to keep those people out. But if that same person falls foul of somebody else and you're in a position to help, Scripture says we should. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Good. In Leviticus 19:18 sums it up. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbour as yourself. I am the Lord. God says, take the old and the new. Put it together. Look at what Leviticus is saying. Look what the New Testament is saying. When we go back to that portion of Scripture in Luke, you know, what must I do to inherit eternal life? How do you read it? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. So we are to love our neighbour as ourselves. But that doesn't mean that we allow evil to penetrate the good. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't judge. And I don't mean being judgmental in the sense of condemning, it's making a judgment. You made a judgment to come to church today. You weighed it up and said, Am I going to be safe? Do I feel okay? Is God with me? Is it going to be okay to go to church and gather with some other people? I'm going to make a judgment. Yes. Some people will make a judgment and say, because of this particular circumstance, no. We're making judgments, aren't we? So when we use the word judge, it's not always in a negative term. So if there's a fire, don't put your hand in. You're making a judgment. So we are to judge, but we're not to seek revenge. We're not to bear a grudge. We're to pray for our enemies. Love your neighbour as yourself. I am the Lord. Final scripture I want to leave you with this is Luke 10:36. Is which of these three do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? Now Jesus, talking to the man who was very eloquent, very articulate, understood the law, understood, he was an expert. He was in the same category as the ones that Jesus had called hypocrites a little while before. But he wasn't being hypocritical. He was asking Jesus a question. Maybe he was trying to trap him. Some portions of scripture says this. Just trying to see if Jesus knew the Torah. Understood what God was saying. And he wanted to justify himself because he answered correctly. To love the Lord and to love your neighbour. But he went on to say, well, who is my neighbour? And then Jesus told the story, didn't he? Of the man, the Samaritan who fell into the hands of the Samaritan who helped the man who fell into the hands of robbers. And he said, the priest went by, the Levi went by, but the Samaritan stopped and helped. And he said this, which of the three do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? And we know the answer. In 37, the expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. So in light of everything that we've heard over these last 3 weeks, talking about the love that God has for us, talking about our neighbour being the one that's in front that may be in need, even someone who's our enemy. In the light of who we are in Christ Jesus, we're redeemed. We're those that have shown mercy. We're those that have been given power. We're those that are called to bless and not curse. We're those that are called to see ourselves the way that God sees ourselves, despite our circumstances. Jesus answers us the same as he answers the expert of the law, because his word is there to edify, to build up, to correct and direct, and all of his word is useful for us. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. And that's the moral of the story, go and do likewise. So to love ourselves, to love the Lord and to love our neighbours. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. And we thank you, Father God, for your word. And Lord, give us wisdom on how to deal with the world around us. To discern the good and the not so good. To be able to judge rightly the fruit on the tree. To be able to shun evil and to embrace righteousness. But also be able to have the power to bless those that we don't think deserve blessing, to serve those that we maybe don't want to serve, to give to those that maybe we feel don't deserve our gift. Father God, give us eyes to see and ears to hear, that we may love our neighbours as ourselves. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.